This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Chris Graham is the founder and the editor of the Augusta Free Press, online at augustafreepress.com. He joins us on the long line, live from downtown Waynesboro. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Andy Kaufman has a lead in. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Didn't you like him? Wasn't he funny?
He was, and he was ahead of his time for most people, but I guess I was behind the times then, so
yeah,
we're all
yeah.
caught up now.
He was good. Hey, Chris, I was telling folks earlier, I got gas at the Martins in Waynesboro last week for $1 a gallon with the discount.
That's not bad.
Isn't that amazing?
And you know, even without the discount now, it's back around $1.35. You know, I think I'm sure we talked back in the summertime about $4 a gallon gas.
Yep.
That's just a few months ago. This is so topsy-turvy.
Well, and you were the guy that we were talking to, and you were the one who was saying loud and clear, this is not so much about supply and demand as about speculators who are in the marketplace. And were you ever proved right? Because when the market crashed and all the speculators got out, gas prices plummeted.
And that's right. We all benefit from it now. But yeah, that's right. We were saying back then that a third at least of the price of a gallon of gas when it was $3 and $4 a gallon was speculators. And we've gotten those guys out of the market. And now we're paying, actually gas is plentiful. And it was all along. And that's the frustrating thing about that was I think a lot of our economic troubles right now are related to the gas price inputs that we dealt with for 3 or 4 years. I know a lot of focus has been on the real estate market, but I really think that there's a lot there because our retail economy is so based on just-in-time delivery that we're paying the price of those sins from 3 and 4 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Graham is my guest, live from Waynesboro, the Augusta Free Press. Chris, the big political news two big news items that broke over the past few days. Terry McAuliffe is officially in, although we sort of knew all along that he was going to run for governor for the Democratic nomination. And the other big news, of course, is that Governor Tim Kaine has been tapped to head up the Democratic National Party, which I guess is Terry McAuliffe's old job.
And Terry McAuliffe, isn't that funny how small the world gets at these times? And the Tim Kaine news is surprising news, to say the least. I know I, among many who have a chance to talk with the governor, he was in Stanton a couple of months ago, and I was pressing him on, okay, what are you going to do next? You know, is a cabinet job in the offing? I think DNC came up briefly in the conversation, but like he told many people that, that was just not going to be the case. He was going to focus his last year being governor. If something came up after that, great. But he was really looking at possibly taking over a university. I heard VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, but some other names out there as well. So for this to come up this weekend was quite surprising because not only had he denied any interest in that, he would really emphatically denied that he had any interest in seeking a job, particularly one that would seemed to divert some of his attention away from his last year being governor. And so what a way to bring in 2009 with this surprising news here.
So what exactly does it mean, you think, for the Democratic Party nationally that Tim Kaine heads it up? Because, when Howard Dean went in, he said that we're going to do his 50-state strategy. And he was going to totally change things and put money into states like Virginia, where Democrats hadn't won in a long time. And he was vindicated. I don't know where Howard Dean's going to end up, but he was certainly vindicated, and his strategy paid off big time. What do you think we're going to see with Tim Kaine?
I think we're going to see Tim Kaine build on that strategy. Tim Kaine and Mark Warner and Jim Webb and Mark Warner again this year with the Senate run really built upon a similar strategy within Virginia. For a long time, Democrats in Virginia had written off anything south of the Rappahannock, south and west of the Rappahannock, focusing on the Crescent, just Northern Virginia, Richmond, and Hampton Roads, and not really caring how they did in the rest of the state, which is 40-45% of the vote, and you cede territory like that, and you're going to have a hard time winning elections no matter how well you do in those areas you focus on. Howard Dean had a similar strategy nationwide. Hey, we can't just run well in the Northeast and in California. We have to win in other states and other regions of the country as well, and we see that. That the case. Now, Tim Kaine is going to, because that's a natural. Tim Kaine in Virginia and Mark Warner have built upon a similar strategy in Virginia. I think that the other part of this is, though, maybe a slight switch. Howard Dean, in some people's minds, maybe a little too liberal to lead a national party. I don't think he came across that way personally to me. I think he really ran the DNC as much as a centrist as he could, given his own political background. But Tim Kaine certainly comes straight from that centrist Democratic cloth. very much like a Mark Warner again, or a Jim Webb, very much a Virginia Democrat. And I think what we're going to see here is the imprint of the Virginia Democratic Party revival in this state in the past 10 years is going to be implanted nationwide. And I think that's actually, it's a great thing for Virginia, and it's going to be a pretty good thing for Democrats nationwide as well.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. And what about Terry McAuliffe? You've talked to him recently as well, right?
Talked to him recently as well, yeah. I'm one of the legions, not surprised at all about the fact that he's going to run. We had him in Waynesboro in early December. He spoke to a group of about 15 local Democrats, it was a Monday night, really hard, cold rain. He had to drive down from Northern Virginia just for this event, to talk to 15 people. When he left, I remember remarking to somebody, he didn't drive all this way just to ask us if he should run.
Yeah.
Basically, we knew that was the case. And you look at the campaign team that he announced. He's got a lot of heavies here. He's got Mike Henry, who just ran the successful campaign of Mark Warner for Senate, who also ran he was the manager of the campaign for Tim Kaine for governor in 2005. You got Mo Alethe, also tied to those two campaigns. You have DeLacy Skinner, who was the communications director for Tim Kaine and was his press secretary during that 2005 run. You have a lot of heavies here. He's not just coming out of the gate here, well, I'm Terry McAuliffe and I'm going to raise a lot of money. He's coming out with an all-star team of Virginia Pauls, who you have to think, he's going to come out of the gate here pretty strong. Brian Moran had been building up a similar team, some other Mark Warner, I called them acolytes in the column that I wrote today, people like Mem Riley and Gene Jensen, the former secretary of the state Board of Elections, Steve Jarding, who ran Warner's campaign in 2001 for governor, that all this is built upon. I think maybe in a way the odd man out is Cree Deeds. Cree Deeds is, for the most part, put together his 2005 attorney general team, which, okay, they lost. They lost by 360 votes, so they still lost. And you don't see any of these, the Warner and Kaine and Webb people in his campaign.
But we're talking with Chris Graham. But could Cree Deeds be benefited by the fact that he's going to be in the session and sort of quiet for a few months while Terry McAuliffe and Brian Moran are going at it and throwing mud at each other and trying to raise money, and then all of a sudden a few months later, here comes Cree Deeds, and he'll sort of look like he's out of the fray?
I would fear if I was on Cree's team that he might just get lost in the shuffle here, because I think that's probably got to be a strategy. He's got 2 months where he can't raise money because sitting General Assembly members and office holders at the state level can't raise money during the General Assembly session, so he can't do anything of that nature. He really won't have time to go out and campaign during that period of time. And so he's got to play up this quiet strategy, maybe use the General Assembly job and the attention that is resulting from the attention we're going to give to the state budget and other legislative issues to his advantage. But for the most part, he's going to be fighting, with a six-shooter against guys with howitzers for a couple of months, not to mention the fact that he's going to come out of this with, a significant fundraising disadvantage, when we come to mid-March and he's back into the fray. I would just fear that those two guys, especially McAuliffe, he's going to get so much media attention because he is Terry McAuliffe, the former DNC chair.
It's a national news story this weekend.
It's a national news story. Yeah, he's the former Clinton confidant. I mean, he's a big time player at this point in his race. And it's kind of like when Sarah Palin got the vice presidential nomination back during the presidential election. For so long, she defined the race, and I think that there could be a similar Terry factor here, where it's almost like the primary becomes a referendum on whether Terry McAuliffe is an authentic Virginian, whether he knows the issues well enough here, and if you're Brian Moran, if you're Cree Deeds, you have to almost say he's not in both those cases, and therefore vote for me. Brian Moran has the advantage; he gets to run for two more months than Cree does, and build that up. And I think he has the fundraising apparatus already in place that will allow him to at least compete something on even footing with Terry McAuliffe. And I don't think there's any question Terry McAuliffe's going to have a huge advantage in his race in that respect, but Moran will at least be able to be in the same battlefield, so to speak. I'm not sure about Cree in that respect. Cree's going to have to run a really frugal, austere campaign, and maybe there's an advantage there, but I see a lot of, just on paper, a lot of disadvantages right now for Cree in that respect.
And this is a June statewide primary, right? Everybody can vote.
That's right. June statewide primary. Yeah. In Virginia, there's no party registration, so you're not prohibited if you're Republican, if you're independent, agnostic, whatever you want to be, from voting in this primary. So
to choose the Democratic nominee for governor.
To choose the Democratic nominee for governor, because Republicans will not have a primary. They will have a convention to decide their nominee. So
who will be Bob McDonnell, the attorney
general? Bob McDonnell,
the
Republican nominee. Yeah, he's going to be the gubernatorial nominee. Bill Boling, the lieutenant governor, he has a nominal opponent for his renomination, and there's a few people running for the attorney general nomination. They'll decide all that through a convention. So, yeah, theoretically, anybody can vote in that. Realistically, you're going to talk about turnout in the 5 to 6% range, and it's going to be mostly liberal Democrats deciding this. You'll see a few crossovers, but I don't think there's going to be anything in terms of an organized effort to get people out there. So you're talking about all this money is going to be spent on a very small portion of the voting population to decide this nominee.
Chris Graham is the founder and the editor of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.